Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Akata, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday, September 10th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America. Welcome, everyone, to the show this evening. I know many of you have been with us for some time. We've been doing the show for several years now, and there are hundreds of archives that you can listen to for those who are new and hearing it for the first time, just to let you know that if you want to hear other shows, they are in the archives. Well, welcome everyone to the show. We're going to be talking about this very ancient spiritual teaching, and we'll go over some of the very basic fundamentals of the teaching, as well as some other aspects that are deeper and give more enlightenment, which will be brought to us by the leader of the teaching, who is Sri Kadafji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sroshi Master. And we're very fortunate to have him with us this evening. Sri Kadafji, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about some of the basic fundamentals before we go into some other aspects that people might be interested in hearing, and I'm sure people will be interested in hearing all of it for those who are seeking spiritual unfoldment beyond what they have now. This is the place to listen and learn more about it. Sri Kadafji, at what point did you want to particularly talk about Akata? Did you want to begin talking about the history of Akata, or would you rather speak about your role as the 973rd Living Sroshi Master, the Mahaji? What part would be the most interesting for you to begin, may I ask?
Well, I think the history combines with that, too, because the mastery is a really eternal. When you talk about time and history, the interesting thing is that we think in a number of years and that sort of thing, but the idea, the teaching, is it comes and goes. It's not always public, so therefore it always exists. So it would be ancient or brand new. The timing factor really is insignificant. It means as long as there's preservation time, a creation per se, the lower worlds, there has to be a teaching that will liberate one from those particular areas, negative areas. And that's what Akata does, being the most direct path. And you were saying in your intro about wherever you are, to go farther in your spiritual unfoldment, that's more or less some of the audacious comments we make in Akata about being the most direct, the only path to the God worlds, that sort of thing, because it is. And that's why 99 out of 100 are pretty much turned off by it, because of that audacity, really. And it's not really audacious per se, it's just the facts. You know, it's not a fact. I mean, it's a fact in terms of the reality of the path, which has always existed. So it's a secret path that when you discover it, usually you're one in a hundred. I mean, there are people that discover it and then don't step onto the path, but they still have to have good karma even be able to hear it. In other words, if you're on the show tonight and you're not a member, you have good karma, because it's a proximity thing. She said that's kind of an interesting idea, too. That's maybe brand new this week also. It seems like we're always coming up with a kernel of wisdom that may be rather unique or unprecedented. We have a tendency to do that each week. And therefore, having said that, it means that people can be very good, but they can also be very evil. But intrinsically, we consider the people are inherently good, like at the soul, the essence that we talk about in Sahaji, and what is known as spirit or travel, the movement of the soul within one. That particular essence we call the light and sound. We're a sound current, and one can identify with themselves as the essence, as soul. That's very important. It's very important for people to understand when we give this purport each week, when we talk about it, we're trying to discuss and exemplify the fact, what is the essence of man, which is inherently good. So we say it's soul, the sound current that we reiterate and repeat a lot, because we have to put a lot of attention upon it, because people are easily distracted away from their essence. In other words, people take for granted their identity as soul, but they don't really target it, what it is. You know, we all talk around and in around things. We're doing this, and I'm doing that. We're all doing these things. But what that's doing it? See, what's the essence of man when we take for granted what it is? In other words, there's a lot of details that are lost in the world. We know that. All the subject matter out there talks in and around it, but not specifically targeting it. And so we do that in Akitu. We target the essence as soul, this light and sound, the sound current that one can experience. One can tune into it and hear this sound current. Because we've talked to a lot of people that are not even members, they hear the sound current. See, but then they'll forget about it in their day-to-day life, and then they're getting away from their center. They're getting away from their vitality, their energy. All their energy comes from the soul. And then when they are not energetic, when they dampen the light, so to speak, and then they're in this labor camp we have in the world today, and this essence is dampened down, stamped down, because we're talking about a minimum of 10,000 suns of power within each individual. That's a lot of power that is turned off in terms of how the controlling mechanism in the lower world is at present, where the essence is not shining through, per se. So what happens when you step onto the path of Akita, we sort of light it up. You know, when we are expecting it to be lit up, we're expecting that people that are involved, we call them Akitists that follow Akita, and those particular individuals are turning on their essence again. They're really, it's being recognized by me, the Living Source and Master. I recognize that minimum of all this power that we talk about, and we allow for it to show forth, let's put it that way, then to dampen it down. So we're the teaching that does that, and then while we have the initiation levels, people can be proud of that because we have those three goals of self-realization, God-realization, and Sarosha mastery that should make one very proud because they're having success in their spiritual life. Whereas, what do religions do? Well, you pay money and a tithe, you go to church, and you remain a follower. You listen to priests, but you don't really do anything. I mean, you might sing in the choir, do some things like that, which is fine. But where is it in terms of entitlement? Where do you feel like you've progressed or succeeded to spiritual liberation? That doesn't exist. It even doesn't exist as New Age teachings a lot of times. They don't know what they're doing. They're running around helter-skelter, having no idea what's going on. So that's why in Act 2 we give a specific guidance, a specific wisdom that people can garner and have as their own and gain this wisdom. And then ironically, we give all this wisdom out, and then we always say only 1 in 100 can get it. The other 99 just think it's drivel or babbling, you know, nonsense. You see, they're just not getting it because their attention level is so poor. So that's why we talk about, and maybe, let me see where we are on the time thing, because
we've got about 10 minutes
right?
Left.
No, I understand that. I'm just looking. The goals are, we talk about the contemplation that we do every day, which will enhance one's attention level. See, that's the problem with most people is their attention level is so poor that they can't understand pretty much anything, but they don't want to admit it. See, that's that ADD or ADHD, this attention deficit disorder, that everyone really has this, but they don't want to come forth and admit they're in bad, sorry shape, because they're pretty much not getting anything. They're really not. I mean, it's amazing how we can have a society when people aren't comprehending anything, and they can't admit they lose it in the first couple of statements. It's really weird that happens. It's just like the schools, if people are not, their attention is very poor, and rarely do you have somebody that's paying attention to anything. And what are they paying attention to? Dribble. So paying attention to cultural literacy, in my opinion, is cultural propaganda, okay? But that's not really part of ACOTA per se. We're trying to find that 1%, that 1 in 100 is willing to listen to what we have to say, and the simplicity of the art of contemplation that you do every day, we do every day, a 30-minute contemplation that we recommend. And we get the basic tenets of the teaching of the light and sound. Myself as a spiritual master, that is the longest unbroken line of spiritual masters. It goes back to the dawn of time and beyond. Like I said, ACOTA comes and goes, so it's not always public, but it always exists. See? As long as there's existence, it always exists, whether it's public or not. The Living Source Master always exists in this lineage. Whether he teaches the path publicly or not, that's up to him to decide if the error is such that they won't be persecuted, per se. And because sometimes you just can't teach it because it's put down or condemned, and you just can't say anything in reference to it. The entity can't exist, per se, the group consciousness of ACOTA. But we're fortunate right now that we can do that, and that's why we're giving these presentations. But at the times when it's not public, it won't be spoken about. See, people are really lost in the other nonsense they deal with on a daily basis. And I say nonsense because it really is. I mean, it makes really no sense. We're really the only path that makes any sense because we're guiding one to spiritual liberation. Who else does that? I mean, I read it all. I read fast and I comprehend it all, and it just doesn't exist out there. Yeah, I mean, just go. I challenge people to go find it. Go find and see if there is something else. I tell people, read everything you can. It's okay. We recommend when people step onto the path that in the first few years they should read only ACOTA work so they can get a footing, per se. But not to say you can't read other things, but sometimes it's difficult in the beginning because you have to learn about some things. You have to learn about the art of contemplation, a discipline, which is not terrible. I mean, it's not difficult to do 30 minutes a day. I always say if you can't get 30 minutes each day to spirit or to God, then I think you have a problem. But it's not a mandate, but highly suggested to do it. And maybe you'd like to take us through a contemplation too, Leslie, if you would do that. I appreciate it.
Sure. And we're not going to do a 30-minute contemplation, but I'm going to give you a brief example of what one might be like. So when we're doing this on a daily basis, though, we would spend 30 minutes on a daily basis, and we can pick whatever time of day that's best for us. I myself prefer to do it in the morning because it sets the tone for the whole day, but everybody has different schedules, so you can sort which time works best for you. If you can be regular around the same time every day, that's beneficial because you have a 24-hour span that the contemplation exercise covers. When you're contemplating, you might have different experiences. You might hear the sound current, which can be heard as a high-pitched electrical sound, that it can also be heard as various types of music, violin or flute, depending on what plane that you're on. In the lower planes, it can be heard as a tinkling of bells, the buzzing of bees. There are sounds associated with each of the planes. And so that's one aspect of it. So the srosh, or the spirit that flows from offshore, from God, is seen as light and heard as sound. You also might see the colors of the different planes, depending on where you're traveling. And that's really how you can define where your location is spiritually. So if you see a rosy, reddish color, you know you're on the astral plane. If you see a yellow color, you know that you're on the fifth plane, the plane of Saturn Loke, which is the first plane of the pure spiritual, pure positive spiritual worlds, what are called the higher worlds. There are different sounds and colors connected with it. And you might also see the inner light of the Mahaji, of Sri Kadarshi, and that can be seen as a blue light. It's more of a royal blue light that you might see, and it might come as a star, but you'll know that's the presence of the inner master that's there with you to give you guidance and protection if you wish. So we're going to do a brief exercise just for a couple of moments, just so you get the feeling. We'll put our feet flat on the floor, put our attention on the tibial till, which is that spot on the head that's called the soft spot, where when a baby is born, soul enters through that soft spot, the top of the head, the crown chakra. And that's the highest chakra, and that's why we use that point, although it is okay to use the tibial till or the third eye if you wish to do that. So we'll close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths to relax, put our feet flat on the floor. We can be sitting in Indian tala fashion, whatever's comfortable, either one of those. And we're going to take a deep breath or two, just to relax. And then we chant the word Hue, and you can follow along or just listen as you wish. Barakabashad, which means may the blessings be in higher Sanskrit. Srikadashi, did you want to add any other information about the contemplation exercise?
Right. I also wanted, we didn't really stipulate the planes. We talked about lower planes, but I wanted to stipulate what they are. We have the physical plane, the astral plane, the causal plane, and the mental plane. Those are the four lower planes, which are important to comprehend because we need to negotiate our way out of those particular planes. They're dimensional areas that are existent within each individual that we weren't taught when we were children in other paths. So in other words, when people pass away, they just don't go to a heaven above in the sky somewhere. They would have to be going into dimensional areas. And they've been mapped out by the Viragi Sarosha masters all during this time we were talking about through history. They have always existed. So it's important to understand the four lower planes because they do exist. And so the other teachings don't specifically give those. And then when people pass away, the spirit, their soul, may go off into who knows where. And then they get trapped, and then they have to come back. You see what I mean? So Akatsu gives a specific mapping on the inner. And in the intro book, we give everything is free. Membership, books are free. Everything is free on the path. We have an intro book in our website, akatsu.com, that shows this planes chart in the back of the book. And it's good to see the visual aid, the planes chart. There's a chart in the back that will specifically show the four lower planes and then the fifth plane on up. Fifth plane, and we show like 10 planes on the chart, but it really is a unlimited areas. It goes on and on in multi dimensions. So it's not just 10 planes, but and put all the planes on. That would be ridiculous to do that. So we did put 10 planes on the chart. So that's important. When you get a visual of that, then you have a visual aid to understand where you are on the inner planes at all times. See, and that's what the other teachings aren't explaining. They mostly believe we're a physical body and we have a mind. I know that's been agreed to over the years. I even know that during in the past several hundred years, they were arguing that point too about man even having a mind because he's physically has a brain. And I know they talk a lot about that, the brain issue being the most important part, and that essentially the mindlessness type thing, because there's nothing physical about the mind unless they equate it to the brain. Sometimes they equate the brain to the mind because that's what you physically see. So it's really easy to fall prey to that fact that there really isn't an essence other than the brain, see, because we physically can't see that. But then how am I speaking to you? Where am I speaking from? Just from a brain? Or am I speaking from an essence of soul? Especially since we can have the experience of, we call it dreaming for the Orthodox, we call it Sahaji for those involved with spiritual things and can understand the high path. But the idea of dreaming, one will see other dimensions and other extra picture type things within one. Where does that come from? You see what I mean? Is that just hallucination of the things we see during the day? Well, that's some of the arguments that are out there that I really can't argue with. It's because we're not in a position to argue. That's not what we do in Akasha. We just present the facts in the matter of the specifics of the path. We present that information, and then people can take it for what it's worth. A ready soul will take to it right away. We have about 3,000 members internationally. We don't have large groups, per se, in one singular area yet, but we're growing because there are the ready souls. There's probably about 75 million ready souls, and people would say, well, that's really ambitious of you to get 75 million members. I'm not ambitious about it. We're just presenting it, and then the opportunity for them to gain spiritual liberation. And you see, people can't fault me for trying to make money on the path, because that's not what I do, because it's free. See, so that ends that whole discussion. Well, he's just trying to sell something as a pitch man like everybody else and trying to make money. Well, that's not true. So end of questions, end of argument in terms of trying just another pitcher or a charlatan trying to sell something, you know. So we don't have to really be concerned with that. So there's no even making some kind of excuse for charging money. You know how all these groups are always justifying the money thing. They have a huge body of information to explain why they charge money for spirituality. We know that. We've been involved with things that do that. They justify the charging of money, which is fine. I have no problem. I don't have to do that, though. So, and people are very happy with that on the path, that they don't have to give up their hard-earned money to buy spirituality. See? My teacher, Paul Twitchell, did charge money, but was a pittance too. And at the time, there wasn't a wholesale onslaught of overwhelming teachings like it is now. You've got everybody trying to pick your pocket on the online. It's a constant. Now, I don't know of anybody else that does things for free. Do you, Leslie? I don't know of anybody. I know they do these free seminars, but that's a setup routine. And then they drop the shoe of how much, you know, later on. I don't know if anybody runs it all the way free, all the way through. I don't think so.
It could exist. I think probably there might be somebody that does it for free, but then asks for donations, whereas we are in a situation.
Yeah, that's the point. They'll ask for donations. They'll do it free up to a point. That's what contributions or donations, which we do not take at all. And if we get any, we return them. So with a nice thank you letter. All right, so that's the housekeeping part of it. But we're really happy about that because it's important issue involving. We don't have to make excuses. But we're not salesmen or pitchmen. We're presenters of the high path called Akasha, giving those fortunate souls the opportunity to gain spiritual liberation in the fifth dimension. That would be above the lower worlds in the fifth plane. That's the first plane of liberation is the fifth plane called the soul plane or Atmalok. And those are, that's first, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was sneezing. I apologize to you.
Oh, I see you're sneezing. I was communicating with a sneeze, right?
You were. I was trying to hold it back, but I wasn't successful, as you all heard.
I see. Well, I didn't really hear it, so I just thought you were interjecting something. So
okay.
That's okay. Right. So where I was in involving this spiritual liberation is very important because what it means in each lifetime, because we do believe in reincarnation and karma, is what happens is if you haven't gotten out of lower worlds, you have to be reincarnated again. So once one steps onto the path of Akasha, their karma stops at that point. They don't make any more new karma, and they are now leading a dharma life. They're not making karma, but working off the karma. And the karma takes about 2 years to work off the primal karma, the old karma from way back when. And then after that, it takes, the program's about a 30-year program to mastery. And that sounds like a long time, but think about the millions of lifetimes one spends. It's a drop in the bucket. So people can get off that idea of that's a long time, because usually it doesn't take that long if people are diligent. But that's kind of the general policy, about 30 years to mastery. But in the first 5 years, one can gain self-realization and true self-realization, which is really important. I mean, that's an important step. Probably, I would say, albeit it's the first goal, it's probably the most important step, because people have been struggling for a long time with their identity. You know, they want to identify themselves as a soul, and it's hard to do that because there's not a path that gives them the opportunity. I mean, a lot of people talk about self-realization, but then I say, well, what is it? See? And you and I have had self-realization, and we have a lot of masters on the path, and we also have many Mahdis, the fifth initiates, that are self-realized Satgurus. The Satguru has ability to teach and communicate at a high, very high level. So that's very important. From that standpoint, did you want to add anything at this point? I know we have about 4 minutes left.
Yeah, I do. I'd like to mention that we're in the midst of a series of talks that Sri Kadavji is giving in Philadelphia. So I want to invite everyone to the next one, which is this coming Tuesday night, 13th at 6:30 p.m. And he'll be speaking about attaining spiritual mastery. And Trikotashi doesn't appear that often, so this is really a terrific opportunity to meet the master and to ask him questions at the end of the talk. So you'll have an interactive discussion there after he gives me the talk for the evening. So if you'd like to attend, it's this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library at 1900 Vine Street in Philadelphia. It's in room 108, and as Sri Kadavji said, we do not charge for anything, so it is free to attend the talk. So we welcome everyone to come to this event. It really is going to be absolutely wonderful, a wonderful experience. So I did want to mention that. Also, if you want to look at the information online, you can look at our website, akita.com. And akita.org are our websites. You can look at other websites, and you'll see the information on the talks. There are talks after that are coming in October and November, and then nothing scheduled after that. But hopefully you'll be able to make this September 13th on this Tuesday if you're in or about or not too far from the Philadelphia area. So we really do welcome you to attend that talk. And it's a good idea to take a look at the website. You can download any of the books for free. If you're interested in hearing more audios of Sri Kadavji, they're on the website. You can also apply for membership. If you've been listening for a while and you think you're ready to take a step for membership, there's an application to do that. As Sri Kadavji said, there's no charge for it, but you do have to apply so that we can keep track of your spiritual progress, because there are initiations involved at every level that you go that will lead you to the three goals of self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. So it's very important to become a member if you're serious about your spiritual unfoldment and want to attain those goals. So I did want to mention all of that. We've probably got about 40 seconds left. I want to thank everyone for being here with us this evening, and especially you, Sri Kadavji, for speaking tonight. It's been a great honor to be able to listen to you. And I want to give you, Sri Kadavji, an opportunity to close for the evening, so that everyone can hear your final words. If you don't mind doing so, I will hand it over to you.
The master raises his right hand, palm face out, and says, I am always with you. May the blessings be Barakabashad.